Hey everybody, welcome to another Bald Move Commission podcast. This time the community pitched together to do an experiment. And wanted us to cover essentially the finale arc of Lost Season 3. This is the arc that begins with Greatest Hits and continues through the Looking Glass, which is a two-part episode, parts 1 and part 2. There is going to be spoilers right off the bat. So if you have not seen Lost and that is something you think you want to do, then get out now because I'm about to massively spoil it. Have I given enough spoiler warning?
Yep.
This is the one where Charlie dies.
Oh, spoiler alert. Jesus, man. You should have given me some time.
Now,
I didn't want to know.
Now, the bad news is that the community, and I want to give special thanks out to Casey, Shane Bowman from the Film Schlubs podcast and the Heisenberg Chronicles, long time listener and collaborator on the show.
Big fan of his, actually.
The Bowman. Yep. Elisa from LA, Michelle, Fracken T and his sister Teresi, Rachel from Brooklyn, Scotland K, Rachel H, and Medellier all joined forces and pitched in their shares to make this happen. That's one of the ways you can get a podcast going on Bald Move. The other is to just self-fund it yourself. The bad news for you guys is I stopped watching at the finale of season 2.
Right. So
and
history
I, and I went
with
back
Lost
and started.
Here.
Good way to start. I missed the first season live and I watched it on Blu-ray and thought the first season was in fucking incredible. And one of those things where I went to Blockbuster and I got multiple, I got the first DVD and like shotgun through those first 3 or 4 episodes. I think the same night went back and got like as many as I could.
Blockbuster. What is this Blockbuster?
I know, right?
DVDs.
This is back in the day.
This is a decade old. This series aired in 2004. It started.
I listened to the Jay and Jack original podcast for the finale and it's like was 2007. So I was listening to our predecessors 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how, like, because this is the first Jay and Jack podcast I'd ever listened to. And it's amazing kind of how Aaron and Jim it is.
Right. I mean,
guess it's amazing how Jay and Jack we are.
I think that's the right way to say it because, like, a lot of my sensibilities on podcasting were honestly shaped by Jay and Jack.
Yeah.
I think if you like the stuff we do, the amount of silliness, the amount of insight, the amount of information and analysis, like, those guys are also really, really good at it.
So I didn't know about
check them out.
I didn't know about podcasting back then, but what I did know about is the internet. And I remember going on to all of the forums and all of the, I think news group is still a thing, but there was especially this one, I think it was called the Dharma Institute. Maybe it was a wiki.
Okay.
And it just had like every episode come out and I watched season 2 in real time. And like, you know, when the shark swam past and had that Dharma logo and everybody's like, what the fuck does this mean?
And, and they got into the hatch and they...
Well, that's like, the thing. Like, we got in the hatch and then I feel like that the climax of season 2 was the fact that, like, they didn't keep flipping the switch when the countdown and the count... And it just ended and it's like, oh, what's... And I remember looking at my wife at the time and we're like... And I said, this is just going to be X-Files all over again, where they're just going to keep piling on question after question and we're never going to get answers... And then when season 3 came around, I might have watched it, but I was out. Like, I didn't. Most of season 3 is a mystery. So what is your history? And the other thing is, like, I remember starting to think about that when Walt left the island because they built all of season 1 was Walt was going to be this, like, messianic figure. He was key
he had some
to understanding
connection
with everything.
Locke, and it was.
And then he's gone and he didn't return all of season 2. And I'm like, just fuck this. This is Mulder's sister again. was your experience with Lost?
So I checked out the first couple of episodes as it aired, and I stopped watching it after like episode 2 or 3. I was just like,
Man,
I don't know if
that pilot is amazing.
It's I want to say the word hooker, but that has different connotations. It's a hooker.
it's a real pirate hooker of a episode, surly and. Foulmouth.
There are a lot of hooks in that should have got me at the time, and they really didn't. I don't know if I just wasn't in the headspace for it or what. I was not a big like serial television guy though. I didn't watch shows live aside from like Deep Space Nine. I think was the only
podcast,
one.
You're just too far ahead of your time.
I was. So I just I didn't keep up with the weekly TV schedule, and so I didn't watch it. And I came back after the end of season two, and I said, okay, let me give this another shot, because everybody was talking about it online, and
it was a phenomenon. All over the place.
Yeah. And so I watched seasons one and two, and I was like, okay, now I'm fucking hooked. And then season three, I started in on all of, like, the podcast and the theorizing, and got really into the fan communities, especially Jay and Jack's forums.
Did Jay and Jack, were they on it from the jump? Or did they had to start, like, in season? Not, no one was on it from episode one.
You know, I'm not sure. Because I wasn't on it from the jump, podcast from the jump, so I don't really remember. I know by the time I got into the show and was ready for podcasting, they were already there. And they were definitely, like, my favorite. I mean, there were a lot of other people doing Lost podcasts at the same time, but they're kind of the ones I identified with. And so I started getting really into the fan communities, and I made fan art for them, for, like, the Jay and Jack. Maybe I should link to some of this stuff. It's just really old and kind of shitty now, but I just loved getting in there with the fans and digging out all the different theories that they had, because this show was packed with background information, right? There was always allusions to different themes based on what books were on the shelves in the hatch, and, like,
oh yeah,
people just went crazy for the numerology,
and
right, those numbers on the hatch, what do they mean? Like, they were everywhere, and people were just going crazy over it. And I was one of those people. I loved the exercise of trying to figure out what was going on this island. And you're right, they did keep those mysteries going and just pile them up for season after season. And I think it's somewhere around, like, season four where they really start answering some of the big questions. Mm-hmm. Like, who are the others? What are they doing here? What is the freaking island, and why can they not get off it, and why can't people get to it? And, like, just so many different questions you have. I feel like season four is where they really hit that. So yeah, you checked out a season before that.
Well, and then I always thought in the back of my mind, well, you know, I'll follow this in pop culture, and if it turns out that this wasn't the X-Files, if they actually had an end date,
right,
and they kind of stuck the landing, and to say that the end of the show was controversial is probably underselling it, because I know there are lots of fans, including some of ours and on the forums, who maintain that the payoff of Lost was worth it, and that and also that it was the journey that was worth it too, and nobody had any,
that, yeah,
no regrets and all that. But on the other hand, there's also a vocal group of people that say they felt screwed, and they felt like their investment and their passion into the show was not commiserate with the people running it.
Oh wow, that's a shame. Because the other thing I listened to, the other podcast, was the official Lost podcast, which was run by Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof. Every week they'd get on the mics and they'd talk about the show, that week's show, and it was really amazing to hear the creators. It was the same with Ron Moore for Battlestar Galactica. I loved that podcast because he'd just sip some whiskey and talk about the show. I really love those insights that you get from the actual creators in real time.
So for this podcast, the real bummer is not only did I not see any of season three, so I felt a little lost, you know,
right,
like I was out of focus and twisting and coming towards the camera. That this seems like this arc hinges on how you feel about Charlie.
Right.
And I hate Charlie.
What do you hate about Charlie? Why do you hate Charlie?
So I was excited when I found out Dominic
Monaghan. Dominic Mahogany.
McConaughey.
McConaughey's.
Though was in it because, you know, I was a big Lord of the Rings nerd and geek, and I thought he was really good as, Merry. But right off the bat, they have this kind of very thinly veiled oasis.
Right.
Clone. Their hit song is ridiculous.
To the point that it was so thinly veiled that I actually, it is an homage, because at one point he's singing Wonderwall. He's busking and singing Wonderwall.
Yeah, that was
sidewalk.
Actually in this episode.
Yeah.
But there's something about the way he carried himself, and the fact that, and the other thing is, like, you know, you're looking back at 10 years of my own personal history, you know, I used to be a lot more of a conservative, judgmental person, and I didn't have time to be sympathetic to someone with a substance abuse problem or anything. Okay. Like, honestly, Breaking Bad and The Wire, seeing those things kind of around the same time really changed my mind about, like, oh, this isn't just people that are, you know, not giving a shit and fucking, and, you know, this isn't just all about personal responsibility and,
right,
you know, YOLO and all that. So this guy and his heroin addiction was like this just anathema to me that I didn't understand, and he was annoying, and I just didn't like his face and I started getting like really specific and cruel. Like, I don't like the shape of his nose. I don't like how his teeth are kind of pointy, and I don't like how he's macking on this Australian girl who I think is kind of secretly my girlfriend, and I don't see what she sees in him, and I you know, like, it started eating into where he became one of my least. After Shannon and her dumb fuck brother, right, Boone,
yeah,
who I think were the fucking worst.
Yeah.
After they died, like, Charlie became my principal, like, I hope this guy gets it, but good.
I think later on there's Nikki and Paolo who
okay.
people really fucking hated, like, everybody.
Is that Michelle Rodriguez? Was she on the
show? Oh, God.
Because I remember people losing their fucking minds about that.
Right.
Was she in season two?
She was one of the rear, yeah, the tail.
Okay, she wasn't. Okay, because, yeah, I remember that, because people fucking lost, and I didn't understand that, but there again, I hate Charlie, and I'm probably lots of people gritting their molars and regretting buying shares of this project right now. Because
she had a lot of trouble on the set, too. She was, like, drunk driving and getting arrested and all sorts of shit. She got fired, I think, from the show.
Interesting.
And they killed her off, yeah.
Interesting. But no, I'm not a big Charlie fan. So seeing him drown was not the gut punch emotionally that it clearly is for many, many people. And also, like, as it was happening, I'm like, why is he shutting the hatch?
Why doesn't he shut it behind him?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Get out of the door and shut the hatch then. Or what if you've already shut down the transmission thing? I don't fully understand. At the end, I know he realized that the transmission was bad, or the boat was bad, or it's run by evil people, or it wasn't the people. They were at least lying to Jack and his group. This is where coming in the middle of the season, skipping around, is kind of confusing to me. Uh-huh. And you weren't any help, by the way.
It's been a literal decade.
I was expecting you to be my guide, like my fiery pillar guiding my Moses's ass through the desert, and you were useless.
I remember some broad strokes. Like, I knew who... Naomi was.
Uh-huh.
I knew she was from a different boat and wasn't from, you know, it wasn't exactly who she said. And I know about the Widmore stuff. I know all that. And I know who Penny is. But, like, I only remember the broad strokes because it has literally been a decade since I've watched this episode.
Yeah.
And really thought about Lost. It's been 7-8 years since then.
Yeah.
So, I didn't say my full history with Lost. I actually didn't make it all the way through the series.
Where did you stop and why?
I think I bailed somewhere halfway through season 6, and it just, because it wasn't hooking me anymore. I don't know. Like, maybe they gave me too many answers. Like, the mystery was winding down, so I wasn't as interested, but I just fell out of it at some point. I don't remember why.
And the other thing is, I kept up with, like, the Lost commentary, because I became a big fan of Seppenwall, and that was something that he was discussing on his podcast and something he was writing about. Yeah. So I kind of followed it, and it's weird because I felt like I had a good working knowledge of kind of, like, the cosmology of Lost. And, like, how it ended in its end state, and I was trying to apply that to what I was seeing here. Like, I thought that Ben was some kind of, like, evil demigod, and that Locke became, like, the good side of God, and they got in some kind of epic, you know, supernatural moral battle for the island soul, and the Hurley was fitting in some kind of...
I know that Locke is no mere mortal. I know that. On the island, his body is... dead.
Super Locke.
His spirit lives on as, like, he eats Jacob or something. I don't
But this
fucking
is super
remember.
Not important. This is, like, super tedious. If you're either a Lost fan or you're not. If you're not a Lost fan, you don't give any shit about this. And if you are a Lost fan, you're probably pissed that we're getting the details wrong.
If you're not a Lost fan, why are you listening to this podcast, honestly?
Because, you know, they want to see what the fuss is about.
Okay.
But the thing about Charlie is, like, I didn't care. Like, a small part of me that was still mad at Charlie, which, you know, was died down quite a bit, didn't care about seeing, you know, I didn't really exactly filter that, but I didn't get it. Like, you shut down a transmitter. What if this place floods? Like, why can't you and Desmond both just get the hell out of here?
Right. Just swim up through the moon door like you did.
Yeah, like I thought the whole time that when he puts in that code, it was going that there's some kind of failsafe that shuts the door, and that one-eyed bastard then that with the grenade. The other thing is, I felt like that portal that blew open was big enough for like that little Charlie guy to swim through.
I think he could have swam through it.
Like, he at least try. I mean,
but he had to tell Desmond. He could have done that Desmond on the surface. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Desmond's, you just shut the door on the other side, you wouldn't have to do the Sharpie marker.
Right.
But, you know, again, if you're a huge... If Charlie was the best part of the show for you, I imagine this is where you cry buckets and get all slobbery about it.
There were plenty of people who lost their freaking minds.
And I finally know, because this has been kind of like, every once in a while you'll see people... someone on Reddit, like, you'll come up with on a Reddit pop culture thread, and it's like, what's your saddest moment on television? Without fail, somebody will write down, what does he write down about?
Not Penny's boat, I think.
Yeah, someone will just, like, the top level reply will be not Penny's boat, and then it'll be just fucking hundreds of people, you know, talking
upvoting
about
and
Lost.
Karma
and I'm like, what
Reddit
the
gold.
Fuck?
Yeah.
So I finally now know what this whole not Penny's boat is.
Okay.
So I've plugged the gap. It's just kind of like,
and you're nonplussed.
You know, I'm not. I would say I'm not A plussed.
Okay.
I'm not unplussed. I'm just kind of plussed, whatever that means. All right. Do you want to talk about specifics about this? Because we also got tons of feedback, which I hope people are not just shutting off this podcast in disgust. Because right now, I feel like I'm clued them in that this is not maybe the podcast you're hoping for.
Here, let's do something positive.
I was going to ask. I was just propound you a bunch of questions and try to figure out stuff like.
Okay.
What the fuck? Why are these guys stealing babies? I remember that being a thing with Claire and her being pregnant.
I know the answer to
this. And the others were coming after. Why the fuck are the others stealing babies?
So,
who are the others?
There's something. can we not do rapid fire stuff? Let me explain one.
You're on the hot seat, man.
Who are the others? That's a real good question, and I don't totally remember, but they're researching the island's powers.
But they're not the remnants of the Dharma Initiative. That's what I assumed when I stopped watching, I guess, that I thought that these were remnants of the Dharma people.
I don't think so. Not the original, like, in the videotape Dharma.
So they can come and go from the island as they will.
They can, and they have communication off the island. Yes. It is a bit of a process, but they have discovered what that process is.
Why do they look like they're shipwrecked? Because I noticed that they all wear kind of sweat-stained, holy clothing. They look indistinguishable from Jack's group.
Right, but those are the people who are interacting with the people on the island, because they don't want them to know that they have a whole civilization on the other side of the island with, like, modern conveniences.
At this point,
running water, electricity.
So at this point, what does Jack and company think that the others are? Because I feel like at this point they know that they've got the research stations and
they know about the civilization too. Because Jack and Kate and Sawyer all get taken captive.
So why are they still running around in their fucking shipwreck fatigues?
I don't know. I don't know why MC Ganey's out there in his tattered.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I feel like there was a reason that made sense back in the day, or maybe the community came up with one. But
why? Why are these researchers there? How do they find out? Okay, I'm asking. This is too many questions.
I understand.
Why are they stealing babies?
Okay,
and pregnant women.
So, as far as they can tell, everyone who comes to the island and then gets pregnant dies before they can give birth to their child.
Okay,
so they are trying to figure out why that is and what's going on here and prevent it. And so they steal they're stealing mothers and babies and such in order to figure that out, to study them. And that's why, like, Juliet in earlier episodes stole Sun, because Sun got pregnant on the island and she was trying to see, is there anything we can do to keep her from dying?
Got you.
And Claire, the other counterpoint,
she gave birth because she arrived at the island pregnant. And
exactly.
I remember, I feel like there was a scare where the others
and so they
were
tried
saying
to steal,
that they were going to, she was going to die and we need to help her. And
right, which they may or may not have thought, have actually thought, but yeah. either way, like, once she did give birth, they were trying to figure out why, which is why they're trying to steal the baby and all this kind of stuff.
Okay. Why does Charlie hold a pin the way he does? Does his fingers like, not work properly? Like, yeah, I've, well, I've seen people hold their pin playing. Wrong, uh-huh. but I've never seen one hold their pin that wrong.
I've seen the index grab and I've seen the middle finger grab. I think he's got a ring grab going on.
He's got like it's if you
the
if
claw
you,
if from you formed Liar Liar.
To live long and prosper, or you pretend like you're a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and you only have three digits. That's how a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle would hold their pin.
Right.
That's how like if you're
it's like
going
Zoidberg trying
if you're going
to
through
it.
Some kind of Stephen Hawking transformation where you're slowly losing control of your body. Maybe, that's how you're in end stage before you're in a wheelchair. That's how you're holding your pin.
That's why he sacrificed himself.
Because he already knew he was going that, and then there was no room for Hawkings on this island.
Yeah, I mean, but he's got you know, Locke mind. Tried to kill himself when he just lost
that's
the
true.
Use of his legs.
There is a little bit of weird like. There's some kind of ableist bullshit wrapped up into that that I'm
well, that's Locke's own pathos. Like,
yeah.
Locke's the guy who says, don't tell me what I can't do.
Yes.
Like 1,000 times in the series.
Why is Locke with the others? Because that's the thing. Like, I don't understand why the others are so openly hostile to these people. Like, it makes sense if this was some kind of good and evil morality play, but if they're just researchers on the island... Like, yeah. So are they like some kind of big government or not government, some kind of multinational corporation that are trying to exploit the island's secrets and
they
don't
are,
want
yeah.
anyone else to know about
as
it?
As far as I remember, yeah.
Okay.
They're basically
so
trying to do the
why
same
don't
thing
they just
Widmore
exterminate these people?
I mean, I don't know. Because
back
that
in the day, they had a pistol that they had from the air marshals.
Uh-huh.
I noticed they have rifles and shit. Yeah. How in the world did that ever happen if the others had modern conveniences and communications technology and vehicles and whatnot? How in the hell did Jack's group ever resist being wiped out by these people?
Well, I think they made the mistake of... they made the mistake of sending Ben, their leader, to probe the group.
That's the other
right?
thing, because like, I remember the whole torturing Ben subplot.
Yeah, he came up as Gale something.
Yeah,
like
he was
Henry Gale
them.
From The Wizard of Oz, uh-huh. and like that's how they figured out he
which,
wasn't who he said he was.
I, from what I remember of Ben's arc in the beginning, it doesn't really hold true of him being the leader of this mysterious band of people researching the island. Why in the fuck
but,
would
but
you
he
ever...
constantly lies. Like, he lies on top of lies with Ben. Like, that was a thing. He always manipulated people
which
with
made
lies.
At the end where he's like, Jack, if you answer that call, it's going to fuck it. I was like...
Right, why would I believe you?
Yeah, like, you need to keep talking. You need to keep talking for a long time with PowerPoints and, like, sworn testimony and, like, some kind of public notary stamps and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you can't just maintain this guy that you've been trying to kill and threatening to kill his whole camp. Like, this, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and eventually, it comes back to bite him in a lot of different ways. The trust within his own group
well,
unravels.
Well, that's the other thing. Like he's just,
lying to his men
yeah,
over
and
over. And
not like, just, like, lying, like, I like you better than I like her, like... Kill those two girls who I said to, and
this station was flooded. Well, turns out it's not. Like,
and then kill yourself. Like, why did the Patch guy kill himself? He was really fucking committed to Ben's
plan. He believed
in
the cause. Yeah.
Is the cause? Do you know?
Could
you succinctly? Okay.
I can't. I don't remember well enough to tell you. I know that they're researching the island.
So the greatest hits. The other thing is, like, it feels like a lot of people really liked Charlie's emotional flashbacks.
Right.
But first, he flashes back to his dad teaching him how to swim, where you essentially tell your child you're going to catch them when they fall, and then you just don't. Like, that's...
But he did, didn't he? He
not
caught him.
Really.
He caught him, and he swam him out to the deep end, and then threatened to drown him. No, that last part. Yeah, he caught him. And then he said, you're a fucking tugboat, and he took him out to the...
the other thing is... I started reminding of the frustrations of the show, because this was back when you could get away with maintaining tension just by two characters inexplicably refusing to tell each other information. Uh-huh. Like, Charlie is writing with his Ninja Turtle grip this list of moments, which I don't even know why, because what the hell is Claire, much less Claire's baby, going to do with this?
Well, it's to impress upon her how amazing he thought she was. You know, he's got to list the top four... In order to list her right at the top, you know?
I can't believe trying heroin for the first time wasn't up there.
Right.
But anyway, Desmond says, hey, and this is after we've established that Desmond's got this death premonition about him, and they have these private conversations about it. Desmond asks, like, Charlie, what are you working on? And Charlie's like, nothing. Like, why? Why? Why would you do
right.
that?
Right. I'm working on a top list that I will later give to you to Claire.
And we're both on board with this fucking plan.
Right. And I know you're not going to tell anybody because that's the prophecy. Like,
right. So I don't understand. And there's a lot of this going on where instead of people just... Instead, everyone is trying to out-manipulate the others rather than just having a frank discussion about...
Yeah, there were a lot of tricks in this show played purely for mystery. And I feel like that was the overriding theme here. Was let's maintain the mystery and let's give you crumbs of answers, but let's kick open doors of questions every episode.
How did Jack become de facto in charge? Because I remember there was when I was still watching, there was a power struggle between him and Locke and even Sawyer as an anti-hero and Jin. That's his name?
Jin? Yeah, the Asian guy, sure.
Yeah.
Korean? Japanese?
I
think he's Korean.
Yeah, something. There seemed like that everyone's fallen behind in line with Jack. Why?
Yeah. I don't remember.
Okay.
Just over the course, he proved himself. Whatever.
Did we talk about... Plus did Sawyer I ask you was already? Dirtbag. I think we got derailed. Why is Locke with the others at this point? Why did they... Because this game was like, why didn't they just exterminate Jack's group? Since they were openly hostile, embrace Locke as one of their own?
At this point, he's being manipulated. Like, Locke is important on this island, and I think Ben understands that on some level, and he is trying to manipulate Locke.
So he can study him.
Right. Like, Locke actually snuck into the camp of the others and was in Ben's house and was going to kill him. And, you know, Ben did his thing and talked Locke down and actually got him to go, like, hijack... something from the survivors. I don't know. Ben just manipulated him and it like told him he had a purpose, which is kind of what he wanted to hear and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It turned from like, I'm going to kill you mission into a, now I'm your puppet mission.
Yeah. Why? Okay. So
why does
Locke's leg stop working when he's inexplicably in this pit of bodies, which I also don't understand. Is it something where when he's not working in concert with the island spirit, his legs don't work?
Yeah.
And when he stops kicking against the goats and stops being like a Jonah character, the island,
he has a destiny. And when he rebels against that destiny, pretty much. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
And then he needs, you know, the island in the form of Walt to come in and say, hey, you can walk. Let's do this thing. You've got a purpose.
Was that the original Walt?
Yeah, that same guy. Same kid.
So my understanding was that they wrote Walt off in the second season because he'd aged visibly out of the role. But when I saw him there, like, I didn't agree. I was like, okay, that's...
I don't know why they wrote him off, but he does come back... later
yeah
and off the island and is like Locke, I think.
Mm-hmm.
no Michael goes to visit him.
Uh-huh. Like, where was Michael
back on Earth?
Was Michael in this episode?
No.
What happened? Did he die?
He might be dead at this point. Yeah.
Wow.
I think.
Okay.
Maybe, you know. Or maybe he's kidnapped.
Man, it's convoluted.
I don't fucking know. Doesn't he get shot when he's trying to defend Walt?
I don't know.
I can't remember. So, it's, like I said, decade. It's been a decade.
Can we talk about Driveshaft a bit? And,
yeah.
There's this flashback where his brother gives him this ridiculous Driveshaft ring.
The family heirloom.
Like, it's something that looks like it came out of a Cracker Jack box.
Yeah.
And, like, this is, like, you know, the original Driveshaft... dick sucking ring. Mm-hmm. And just this, like, they're dressed up like bad rocker holiday. Like, remember that one time where we threw a house party for like a rock band themed Halloween party? We all dressed up as rockers.
Yeah.
Any random milieu in that party would look more authentic than what these guys were pulling off.
Yeah, it's pretty cheesy.
It's really, really bad. And this whole, like, that's one of his top moments. Like, again, if I'm Claire, I'm like, I'm calling the question everything that we've experienced at this point. He saved a woman from mugging. That was another best moment of his life. I guess I could see that.
When she called him a hero, yeah.
You're a lowercase hero, sure.
But, I also didn't get... That's the thing. This driveshaft ring is, like, it does look cheesy, and it looks like it's cheap and chintzy, but, like, he's playing it off like it's a family heirloom. Like, you're going to hand this down to your children and, like, give this to the most important person in your life, and they'll understand the true meaning of it. Like,
I really don't. No, I don't.
You made this. You had this made last Tuesday, man.
Yes.
I get that you're trying to start a thing here, but this is not the ring for it.
Yeah. I would, yeah. No. Like, you might wear that on stage.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit ostentatious at that, but I don't know. Also, yeah. I didn't like Charlie essentially telling Hurley he's too fat to fit in the canoe. Why wouldn't he just... Huh? Yeah, it is mean. Yeah. Why wouldn't he just be like, look, man, I think this might be a suicide mission.
Right.
We don't... We've got all the men we need. One of us not make... It's like, why... I appreciate...
Well, you see later on why he couldn't just do that, because Hurley will follow you anyway. Like, he'll get a fucking van, and he'll come charging in after you.
Hmm.
You got to make him feel bad.
Yeah, it's like if you want your dog to go away, like, you know, get out of here, throw rocks at him and everything.
Right.
Get out of here, you yeller dog.
Yeah, I mean, Hurley's constantly shit on. He's the most beloved character in the show.
Why is Charlie still fat after three seasons?
Charlie's not fat.
I'm sorry, Hurley. Why is Hurley still fat after three seasons?
Well, I think he's a big guy. I think he did lose some weight, actually.
Did he?
The actor himself.
Did
yeah.
he really?
I think so, over the course of, like, filming. Because, you know, they're really filming in Hawaii, and he's trudging around the jungle.
Yeah, I guess it's true. Just
like,
that,
losing weight.
I wonder if they ever had an in-universe explanation for why, even though they're on ostensibly a desert island
they
with
do.
No food.
He was stealing food.
Oh, really?
Because I don't know if you saw this or not, but there was a big, like, Dharma drop where they dropped supplies.
Well, I noticed everyone's drinking Dharma water and
right.
eating Dharma crackers and shit like that.
That all came from a resupply drop, which mistakenly landed... like. The target is kind of nebulous on this island, so it landed closer to the survivors. They
grabbed
it.
Is Dharma still active on the island? And if
no.
So why are they getting fresh supply drops? Is there some kind of time travel involved?
It's from what I can tell, from what I remember, it's a lot like the signal that Danielle was sending out. Like, it just continues to happen. Hmm. They don't know really the status of the Dharma people on the island. Like, they don't have that same communication that the others do. Like, I guess they never figured
so
that out.
Like, well, we haven't heard from these guys in years. Let's keep dropping supplies.
I guess.
Like, not land and investigate or anything like that.
Yeah, it's fuzzy. I don't remember.
Interesting. Okay,
but yeah, they got a hold of one of those supply drops, and he's been stealing food out of the pantry, like cereal and all sorts of stuff.
So there's at one point where Charlie has swum down to the Looking Glass facility, and he's instantly taken hostage by the two women who are the others holding the research facility for some purpose for Ben, who Ben just disposes of casually. Why did Charlie tell them about Juliet and how she had turned traitor? Because that's like, it'd be one thing if it's a fatalistic, like, I know that there's a bomb about to go off in a minute and nothing I tell you is going to be irrelevant, but they immediately notify Ben, tell him this, and this seems to jeopardize and set into plans a lot of things that could have fucked up the group. And
right.
Charlie's not even trying. Like, he's, like, laughing as he's doing, oh, yeah, it's because we got Juliet. She's a double agent, you fucking idiot. Like, what the hell, Charlie?
From what I can read, it seems like he thinks whatever he does is the appropriate action to take because he knows the outcome.
Well, that's the
right?
other thing. Like, if you've got a death premonition that you're going to die in the facility, why does he believe Desmond? Does Desmond have a track record of being able to correctly foretell this stuff?
I don't remember. Yeah.
Because that seems like a thing to swallow. And then the other is, like, even if you did believe in a death premonition, why wouldn't you try your hardest to make it not come true? It seems
because
like Charlie's openly courting death.
No, because the other end of that stick is
Claire
everyone else
gets
off the island, right? Like, he wants them to be
rescued. Which we do find out did happen, because the other mind-bending, if you're watching the show contemporary, is that this parallel structure of Bearded Jack, which you think,
right.
and have been conditioned that this is a flashback to explain like how he's dealing with his post-death of his father. I, but It's actually, you find out at the very, very end that it's a flash forward, that him
right.
and Kate have been rescued with all the others, and there's something that's been tormenting Jack about this, and he decided that they have to go back. Do you know why? What is it about him?
Jack thinks it didn't work out the way that it should have.
How?
Like,
just because you've become an alcoholic and a drug addict and haven't been able to deal with your post-island life.
I don't remember like, exactly
Kate
how.
Kate seemed like she was doing fine.
I mean, later in the series, there are like scenes of them where they get rescued and they fly back and they land and they're greeted as like survivors of this crash and just like how different everyone's lives are.
And he seems like his plan to get back on the island is to just book a flight, trans-Pacific flight, over and over and over and over again and hope to crash again. Which I have two questions. The first of which is, why doesn't he just go back to the island? They were rescued off the fucking island.
Because he can't. The island moves. The island is hard to get to and hard to find.
How do the others do it?
I don't remember. But they have these like the island moves around or something.
Okay,
like it's not in the same position at all.
Is that not a news story? Like, hey, we found these people on the island. Weird, there's weird shit, and people went back to research it, and it turns out it doesn't exist anymore. Like, is that ever mentioned? Well, the other thing is,
I forget how they get off the island, but I want to say that's not.
And I want to say that's stupid, but it's my understanding that all of this is an allegory for some kind of purgatory situation,
right?
So, like, there is no concept of the real world. They all died in a plane crash, and the island was sorting their souls.
And like I said, I never saw the end of it, so I don't know about that.
Why didn't you watch the end of it?
I don't know. It fell off.
But like, I'm saying, like, once you heard that it was finished and, like, wrapped up, I'm surprised you never went back and actually finished
I've actually tried.
Really? You just can't make it through?
Yeah, because, like, I wasn't...
I hear there's a particular season that's a bit of a slog. Like, it just starts up, it gets so far up its own asshole
with flashbacks
and flash forwards and flash
and
sideways. Yeah. And In fact, I was reading a wiki and there was mentioned in like a side flash or a side jump, like a parallel jump where and I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, the reason I didn't see it through when I went back to it is because I was so lost. Like, going back and trying to re-immerse myself by just watching season 6 was damn near impossible. just like I didn't get fully re-immersed by watching the end of season 3, you know?
Yeah. I also love how they beat Charlie for singing We All Everybody, which is...
You All Everybody.
You All Everybody. We All Everybody. Hey All Everybody. We were talking about this during real lunch, like our actual eating burrito lunch, and I mentioned... Like, I've got mixed emotions about this, because this is objectively a terrible song. On the other hand, as you pointed out, you still have, you know, Whip and Nene, and you've got, you know, Gundam Style and all this other examples of terrible, terrible songs that do get to be an earwig in a pop culture. Yeah. And also, just the degree of difficulty if you're doing a successful television show to then write a piece of music that could conceivably be a number one hit. Like, that's really hard to do, so just lean into it and make a terrible song that's part of, like, the in-universe joke.
Right, yeah. This was never meant to be an amazing song that the fans were going to love hearing all the time. The reason they like hearing it is because it's so silly.
In fact, I went and I did some research, and apparently this was an in-joke with Lindelof and Cruz, that there was this old episode of Phil Donahue they were watching... where, you know, Phil would go around and get the audience's opinion, and this woman went on with this tirade. You all, everybody's acting like acting like you're smart and wearing fancy clothes, and you all's not. And that they would say, they would, like, kind of, you know, they would kind of repeat that as a joke to each other. And they took that spiel on Phil Donahue and turned it into the song. But boy, it's super annoying, and I like Charlie getting punched for singing it.
Yeah, and that's the point of those scenes. Like, nobody likes that song. It's just become such a Charlie thing to do that everyone is like, oh, man, that's classic Charlie right there.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, yeah, he probably deserves to be punched for that.
So you're saying that the reason he was so cavalier about everything he did down there is that it was fated. Like, anything that I want to do, it has to be done, so... Like, the first thing that comes to my mind, I'm just going to do it. And trust everything's going to be okay. I guess it did work out that way.
It did. It absolutely worked out that way. And they even got a couple of others in the process.
Yeah.
You know, they killed MC Ganey in this episode, which I did not remember that he got killed.
That was the patch guy?
No. That was a big, scraggly, bearded dude guy.
Oh, yeah. During the assault on the camp.
Who Hurley tries to run over, and then Saeed shoots.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess a lot of stuff. So here's the other thing. I don't even remember all of season three. I went back and read some synopsis, is fucking crazy.
Oh, I bet. I don't know where they got, like, the fucking Volkswagen minibus.
They found it in the desert, or in the jungle, rather.
No, there's probably a desert in the desert,
yeah. The beach. That's a desert, right?
Yeah. I don't get Ben's people's loyalty to him, because he does seem like he's a liar, and he's pitting his people against each other, and this makes sense if he's like some kind of satanic figure, but you're saying that that was a bad understanding by me.
Well, it's also like, this doesn't unravel until there are people there to question it and reasons for it to be brought into question, right? Like, he can tell people, oh, well, the underwater hatch has been flooded and nothing's going on there anymore. But until there's a reason to investigate that, which there never was until these other people invaded the island, they believe him, right? Like, so it doesn't start to, his hold on his group doesn't start to unravel until there's good reason for it. Like, the things you're telling us aren't true, and these beach survivors are proving it.
Okay. I was also disappointed in the way Bernard folded like a cheap suit under, because his wife is Gloria? Right.
Rose.
Yeah. Rose. These people want to kill the group that Jack's trying to, like, every one of these missions has to succeed. Bernard and Saeed and who's the third person?
Jin.
Oh, Jin.
Yeah.
They have to explode the dynamite to take out the killing party. Jack has to get people up the mountain so they can get to the transmitter and make the call.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie and Desmond have to get the jammer shut down.
Yeah.
Any of those things doesn't happen, Bernard's wife dies. Along with the entire group. At least he's got every reason to believe that's the ultimate outcome.
Why does she die?
Because the Jack won't have time to get up to the island, or won't have time
she's
to get
with Jack, though.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But like, if Bernard tells them where Jack's at and gives up the plan.
Oh, well,
That's what I'm saying. So like, if you really love your wife, then it doesn't. And also Jin saying like, don't talk. And Saeed both are like, they're ready to die.
Yeah.
He's not ready to let one of them die to protect the entire group. What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Yeah, no, he's weak.
Like, it's like not even them. I don't know. That just drives me crazy. And again, maybe that's what I would do, because I'm not going to set myself up to be some hard ass. But I guess if I felt like everyone that I care about, including my wife, is with this group and it's the only thing that's important is I buy them enough time, then they could kill any number of these guys who are willing to. They've got the same look. I don't know. I thought that was kind of dumb. And then we're immediately treated to Ben plotting an intercept course,
right? This
where he's drawing a straight line across this Hawaiian jungle mountain crag of a fucking island,
right?
And like, here at approximately 03100, I will come across this and make land. Like, what the fuck? What? This doesn't make any sense,
right? So, A, how does he know when they left?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think Bernard tells him that.
Well, and even then, like, how do you know? Like, they've got Hurley. They've got
how fast they're traveling.
They've got people of all different levels of fitness and age and all that. Like, how do you know their rate of travel?
Sure. Maybe you can estimate it, whatever. But like, your straight line trajectory ain't going to cut it.
If you had like a gyrocopter, island, then you can plot a straight fucking line. But if you're just hoofing it through the jungle, fuck you. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Ugh, whatever.
That was ridiculous. I don't remember exactly how Desmond is able to predict Charlie's death. He does have visions and premonitions that turn out to be correct. How paranoid would you be if someone that you respected predicted your death in, like, the next 2 weeks?
Well, it's like, are you talking about just me now? Or are you talking about me on an island where there's been hinky, weird things going, like a guy in a wheelchair being able to walk and smoke monsters?
Yeah, let's go with that.
And I've recently gotten over a heroin addiction, so I might not be firing at all. I guess I'd be pretty freaked out.
And then if you're Desmond, how tempted are you to fuck with him?
Well, that's my question. Did Charlie? I'm expecting that Charlie went through an arc where he's like angry, Like, did he go through the full stages of grief where he was anger and the denial and bargaining? And okay, because he
remember that
he was kind of rounding into acceptance. You know, he was finishing off with grief and rounding into acceptance in this episode.
And this is coming pretty much off the back of the heroin be like, look, thing,
if you tell me that I'm going to die one more time, on a punch you right in your gob.
Yeah,
you so keep it up if you want to see.
But seriously, Aaron, you're here. Pow! 2 weeks from now.
Pow! Right in his Desmond.
You're gonna drown. You're gonna flip a switch and drown.
Yeah, well, guess what? You die today. So, did you know that? I'm breaking a prophecy right now. In about 5 minutes, you're going to be a dead man.
Yeah, I want to say Charlie and Desmond bonded during the heroin withdrawal stuff.
No, but no, because I thought that was like Locke that kind of did that to him.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember how they became best buds and how Charlie came to respect him so much, but yeah.
Okay. Also... The combination lock being programmed by a musician and being good vibrations, that was a little bit too Goonies for me, man.
You think so? So, remember, the Dharma Initiative is founded essentially by hippies. Like, science hippies.
Okay. I did not remember that. I remember some of the videos where it was very, like, 60s style.
It was, but they were like dressed up in lab coats and very prim and proper. That was not the Dharma Initiative. The Dharma Initiative was much more. That is the Dharma Initiative.
Fuck you.
That is not the image that the Dharma Initiative actually has. Like, that is not who they are.
Were those like actors and behind the scenes? Essentially, just a bunch of dope smoking hippies.
Yeah,
like, and with
pretty
a drum
much.
Circle.
Yeah.
Man, we need more lab coat. No one's gonna believe us. If we're just not of lab coat, man.
No, like. They're all driving Volkswagen buses for a fucking reason. Like, I'm not even kidding. I'm not even joking. The Dharma
Initiative
were like
science hippies.
They appreciate
German engineering. That's perfectly lab coat-y.
So, you know, the idea that they would program it after, like, as a musical piece is not too far-fetched given their history.
Yeah.
Given who they are.
And also this whole, like... There's no logical reason for Jack to spare Ben once he gets the open hand, but he goes, no, I want him to experience us getting off the island. Like, when did Jack become a fucking Bond villain?
Yeah.
Like, no, Mr. Ben, I expect you to watch us fly away and be really angry about it, and your panties are going to be so twisted up, you'll never be able to enjoy anything again.
Yeah.
No,
vengeful, spiteful guy.
Why would you cover... I'm just in full on bitch mode.
Right. I'm eventually going to steer this back around to what I liked about Lost, but
okay.
I'm gonna let you get all this out of your system.
Okay. why did Kate get off the island and immediately switch to wearing way too much makeup?
Well,
like when she pulls up in that car and they reveal it's future Jack and future Kate, like she was almost unrecognizable.
Right.
She like, was what caked. The fuck, man?
She changed her name to Caked.
Kate. Yeah, I guess.
And just had to go with the image.
Like, I guess she's keeping up with his beard. Like, if you're going to cover your face in that much beard, then I'm going to cover my face in this much foundation.
How about this? Who's the worst doctor, Jack or House?
Like,
because there are a lot of analogies, like a lot of parallels to draw here.
I like how Jack got into the apparently hospitals just keep like fun size packs of Vicodin, and OxyContin.
You want to try it out?
It's what you hand out the kids at Halloween. You know, not the full. Just yeah, right. Here's a couple tablets.
Just a taste.
I mean, joke's on me if that's actually how they come. You just open up the medicine cabinet and there's just a bowl full of...
Right, I know a lot of medications are like that. Like, here, try this for a few
Advil,
days.
I can get Advil, I can get that, but like, can you
but
really just get...
oxycodone? Like...
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was interesting. That's kind of... it was an interesting, puzzling experience for me. It was a weird 2.5 hours to spend on a random.
You missed so
Thursday.
Much. I mean, like the relationship between Jake, between Jack, Kate, and Sawyer.
Yeah, it
has
so
progressed.
At this point, I feel like I remember Kate fucking Sawyer and like, no, because I hated Sawyer.
Unless
I hate Sawyer so much.
Unless you watch deeper into season 3 than you remember, because it happens before this, but after the premiere. Like,
right.
It's several episodes in where they get taken captive by Ben over at the other station. And like,
he does unspeakable breeding experiments to her. He wants to know what happens when you get a redneck con artist to... Have sex with
a redneck girl. Like, she comes from
yeah
very humble beginnings, too.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't even remember why she was in custody of the air marshal.
She killed her stepfather. She burnt the house down.
But it was for justifiable reasons.
Because he was beating her stepmom, or her mother. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Not her stepmom.
Okay, now I remember.
Right, she has a stepmom and a stepfather. Because I remember
the mystery of, like, who was the marshal, and, you know, and, like...
Right. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, okay.
Right, that marshal dies on the first... Like, they crash with him.
Well, didn't she perpetrate
around.
That she was the marshal, and he was the one?
Because he was passed out. He was so badly injured.
Yeah. Then
she was like,
the
you
prisoner.
Need to kill him. You need to do it. Like, he's going to die. Just do it anyway. And then she, I think she tried to kill him.
Uh-huh.
So they would find out a secret. But,
that was interesting. A little reversal. And then you find out that, no, she's actually got the heart of gold, and you would have done it the same thing if you were in her position.
Right.
That's the other thing. It's like, one of the chief pleasures of watching a show is, number one, it's a beautifully shot, like, and being on location, all that natural lighting, like, the thing looks like $1 million.
You couldn't get it to look like this without shooting in Hawaii.
And all the principal people are just unspeakably beautiful.
Sure, yeah.
Like, if you want to fall in love and have a crush on somebody on screen, they're guy, girl, color, sexual. I mean, is any of them gay? Or is there any, like, other alternative sexual... dynamics.
Whatever the character name, I should remember this, but MC Gainey's character is actually gay. Yeah.
Because that's the other thing is, like, I feel like even if not, you can still kind of, like, secretly ship it, because it's not,
right.
It's not like there hasn't been tons of gay fic about Spock and Kirk and et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
Sherlock and, you know, Dr. Watson. I almost struggled to come up with Dr. Watson's name.
So probably Doctor like Who as
any,
well.
Any kind of thing that you're into, there's something on this island, and that's spectacularly the best, like, thing version of that thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I really liked Claire. She's the Australian girl. That was, like, my best girl. And Kate was, like, 1B.
Kate was 1A for me.
Yeah, I can see that. She's Evangeline super attractive. Yeah. I just saw her in something.
Have her rinsing off in the ocean and just, like, in her... you know, bikini bottoms and underwear, I guess. She didn't have bikini bottoms with her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and white shirt.
The outrage, because, like, I think, like, a lot of her appeal was, like, how that sun-kissed little freckly kind of thing going on, and then when you just plaster that over with the makeup, it's like, what the fuck?
She's so naturally beautiful, you don't need to fucking do that.
Yeah.
What has she gone on to do? She's done some big things, like
she was in
Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit.
She was in unfortunately. She was really good in Real Steel. Did you ever watch that movie about robot boxer?
With Hugh Jackman.
And she was just in something else that I just saw
Ant-Man.
And thought it was good. She was in Ant-Man.
I never saw Ant-Man, but I looked up her IMDb.
I watched Ant-Man after the latest Captain America movie, and she was in that too, pretty good. Keep talking. What did you like about Lost?
Well, the other thing about like their relationship is that had kind of been blown wide open, because Sawyer and Kate had slept together when they were captive in the jail cell, because she thought they were going to kill one
she
of
wanted,
them.
She,
and,
wanted,
like,
she
Sawyer
decided
got
she
beaten.
Wanted to choose her own fate. She wanted death by herpes. So she
knew she'd either get addicted to drugs or have to get a venereal disease.
Yeah, and Sawyer had like 6 different strains of like whatever you got, whatever you want, he's got it.
Yeah, and she figured Jack can cure it anyway when she eventually flip-flops and falls in love with him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like Jack was very... She had solidified who she had chosen, right? Mm-hmm. Made her choice. So Jack was very indignant about that whole thing.
Okay.
Which
As
stands
he would
out
be.
In this episode.
Got the Sawyer stink on her.
Right.
I think it was Ant-Man, because there is no other movie she's made since then, doesn't seem.
Yeah, I mean, she hasn't done a lot, but the stuff she's done is pretty prominent.
She was in Hurt Locker,
like,
too.
Small...
I forgot about that.
I don't remember her in any of these things,
really.
Really?
I think she was the Hurt Locker's wife back home.
I know she had pointy ears in The Hobbit. And that's about it. She was essentially a Liv Tyler stand-in.
Okay. So what did you what else did you like about the Lost show? Let's get some praise into this.
Right. So the idea, I guess, from the beginning was that this would be a sci-fi disguised as a drama, because sci-fi wasn't popular at the time. It certainly wouldn't be allowed on a big network to just do this hard sci-fi that Lindelof wanted to do and Cuse wanted to do. So they decided we're going to mask it with this very soap opera-esque feel.
It is very soapy.
The twists and turns are fast and furious in these relationships. And it seems like every week there's a stinger with like, ooh, what a slap in the face, or ooh, they're going to get together, that sort of thing. But, like, eventually the sci-fi does become a lot more prominent, and, you know, it's kind of there from the beginning with the smoke monster and just a lot of that kind of stuff, the hatch. But, like, it becomes a lot more sci-fi in season four.
But then doesn't it swerve back into, like, seventh heaven?
Right, like,
spirituality?
Yeah, it does, which is where it started losing me big time. Like, once Locke and the whole Jacob thing came out, I was like, eh.
Jacob, that's what it is. It's Jacob, not Ben. I've gotten the two characters confused.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jacob is, like, one of the dual spiritual forces on the thing, and like Locke usurps his soul or something by the end of it.
But the thing is like, I feel like that their problem was they weren't honest with what they were doing at any point. And I feel like that's, if you like Lost and you haven't given The Leftovers a chance, you should really try it, because to me, Leftovers is the Lost perfected. It's like, and of course there's still one final season that they could fuck this all up, but I have faith in them now. Yep. But, like, you know, Leftovers, what's awesome about that is they're like, okay, there's a central mystery where we're just never going to give you the answers.
And we don't care, like, don't think about that so much.
That is that's essentially buying that Superman can fly. Uh-huh. Like, why can't he fly? What's the thing? Like, that's, pay attention. There's a man that's flying. That's the important part.
Right.
So once you get that, this is just beautifully realized science fiction universe with all these intense personal dramas.
But it doesn't feel soapy because they take their time with the relationships.
And there are mysteries that they invite you to comment about, but every season it seems like the majority of them get wrapped up in very satisfying and emotionally resonant climaxes. Like, I think that Leftovers is the best thing that's on television right now, and is probably going to be knocking on top three television of all time by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, if they produce another season like they did last.
Whereas Lost, it'd be like if, you know, going into season three, the Leftovers turned into Independence Day.
Right.
You'd be like, what the fuck? Like, I like science fiction, but what the hell? Like, I feel like that's the... And that's the thing. Like, if you were watching Lost for the characters, you probably don't understand the frustration of a person that's more interested in the mechanistic plot.
The mysteries. Like, we want to figure out all these answers.
If that's what... But that's the that that's was me. For you, then... Yeah. Like, because it seems like that's... When I'm observing these debates on our forums, that's what it breaks down. Like, you don't understand. You don't understand. And like, well... Neither one of you are right, neither one of you are wrong, because you were watching it for two different things.
Yeah, but it can't be... Like, I don't want to understate how novel and how different and interesting this show was when it aired. Like, yeah, it might be soap opera-esque, but the way that it was filmed was so unique.
I mean, the technical execution.
Right, and just the idea, like... Most shows at that time had this big flashy intro, like, we're going to have a fucking theme song and we're going to do this upright for the intro. This was just like, blah,
right,
with a spinning Lost for like 3 seconds, had all these cold opens. Like, I mean, this defined television going forward for a while. Like, I would argue still is today even.
Yeah.
Like, you look at an intro like Breaking Bad, that is straight out of Lost.
Yeah.
We're just going to give you a logo. We're going to give you a very short musical cue and then we're out.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Leftovers, though, is a huge
debt, of course,
to Lost, because I feel like Damon Lindelof learned a lot of things about the making of Lost, interacting with the fan base, and how to manage expectations, and kind of perfected it and came out with, you know, a very superior version of kind of this same wheelhouse thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, what other shows do you, I mean, where else do you see, like, the Losty fingerprints?
I don't know. TV's been trimmed down so much, because that's the biggest mistake I feel Lost had.
You're right.
Is that 24 episode per season arc.
And even I was reading an article where, you know, who knows who's right and who's wrong, but Lindelof was saying that he had been pressuring ABC since like early, the pre-production of season two, to give us an end date.
Right.
And they never did.
Yeah.
And then going to season three, they said there is an end date, but it's 3 years away.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, man, I've got 23 episodes, somewhere between 21 and 24 episodes every year, and I got to do this for 6 or 7 years. How in the world do you not go into some silly shit? Because there's just not enough story there.
Right. I mean, there can't be.
Even with 10, 13 episode seasons, almost all the great shows have a show or two of fat per season.
Yeah.
When you got a 23 episode and it's not procedural, it's serial, holy shit. You're going to have a lot of Timmy being stuck down in the well kind of episodes that.
Yeah.
Because you have to. There's just not that much story to tell.
I think it's also like Lost helped to up the budget of television shows in a lot of places, because that first episode,
I remember, like, it was
incredible,
and it was incredibly expensive too. It was a huge risk, a huge gamble.
Yeah, I mean that plane crash. They really took a plane. JJ Abrams directed it on the beach. JJ directed himself. Yeah,
yeah,
and
that's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean it was very much like a Boardwalk Empire.
It was. I think he had his fingers more in it than he has in like. A lot of the J.J. Abrams labeled stuff
just
now.
Bad robots slapped everywhere now.
Right, yeah. Right. But, you know, he was involved in both the creation process and in the filming process, certainly on that pilot. And, like, it shows. It has this kinetic energy to it that a lot of shows strive toward and can't hit, even today, even with the bigger budgets. And I feel like, you know, this show had 22 million people watching it at its height.
Yeah.
So, like, it proved that these types of shows you can spend more money on. And I think it's laid a lot of track for other shows in that way, too.
What else do you want to talk about? Because we do have a big mailbag.
Let's go to the mailbag.
Okay. Casey says up front, it's going to be a timely podcast because Jack Bender directed the Through the Looking Glass episodes, and he just made his memorable Game of Thrones directing debut, Holding the Door. The door episode of Game of Thrones, so it is kind of timely. Why did I pitch to make Jim and Aaron watch 2 hours of Lost in the middle of the series? Initially, someone in the forum suggested commissioning the pilot. And for sure, the pilot is pretty great, but you can imagine how that conversation could go. Yes, that was an amazing beginning to a show, but it wasn't able to live up to its potential in the long run. So a number of us soon landed on these episodes at the end of Season 3. Seasons 1 and 2 were generally considered a success, but much of Season 3 is where Lost started to show the cracks in its formula. The plot wasn't going anywhere, some of the characters were getting annoying, the innovative flashback structure for giving us character backgrounds was getting stale. That's a huge contribution to television
right there. I totally forgot about that, you're right.
Like, that fucking thing is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you really can see it strongly in The Leftovers.
Yeah, and it's not the first to do flashbacks, but...
But it did it. That was part of its language.
It was. It was built, baked into that show.
Yeah, like, that was a gimmick on other shows, but this is... The innovative flashback structure for giving us character backgrounds was getting stale. No one cared about the time Jack went to Thailand and got a tattoo. Yeah, Jack's tattoo is a persistent Alan Sepinwall joke.
Sure.
It's right up there with Landry being a murderer in Season 2 of Friday Night Lights, which I've also not seen.
Hmm.
But then the last few episodes aired, and it was a real turning point for the series. We got back to some of those character moments that made Lost so compelling. The plot on the island had new urgency, and it really paid off. And in Through the Looking Glass, the flashback narrative device was turned on its head, as the ultimate reveal at the end was that we had actually been watching a flash forward for Jack. It may not seem that mind-blowing now, but at the time, it was pretty damn mind-blowing. Also, two of the most iconic TV moments from the last 10 years are in this episode, Not Penny's Boat and We Have to Go Back. And it was nice to have an excuse to go back and watch them.
I do quote We Have to Go Back a lot.
Yeah. Lastly, with Aaron having noped out of Lost after Season 2, I was curious to how he responded to what is considered to be Lost's great comeback. The Season 3 finale sparked a stretch of TV Seasons 4 and 5 that, in my opinion, is some of the strongest ever. Seriously, if you thought Jack Bender's Hold the Door scene in Game of Thrones is good, go and watch Season 4's The Constant and Season 5's The Incident. The room will get dusty. Well, if it's anything like Charlie's Through the Looking Glass, the room would get the opposite of dusty. The roomie would get wet and soggy.
Is Claire literally the only character you gave a shit about?
No, I liked you. I was
okay.
It's funny because I was in the Lock. Who were you? Were you a Lock guy or a Jack guy?
Jack guy all the way.
I, as you probably would predict, struggled between the viewpoints. More so then because I was much more spiritual.
I was super sympathetic to Lock. Like, yeah. I mean, his whole journey, his whole arc was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And up until he turned into a fucking alien ghost thing.
But even then, you're probably mad just because he was right. It seems like his viewpoint of the island was correct, and Jack's man of science was wrong and unable
to. I don't know whether I can say that definitively because I haven't seen the end of it.
Well, I'm just saying a man of science could not explain everything that happened on the island, whereas a man of faith could.
Sure.
He's
sure.
rolling with the punches.
But I'm not angry at that. It's like, oh, I'm angry that the hobbits don't exist and Lord. And, no, well, of course not. But yeah, I certainly identified more with Jack. Like, let's look at this rationally and let's try and get the fuck off this island. And by the time, I mean, eventually Locke was keeping them on the island and hampering their ability to get off. So fuck Locke.
Okay. Fracken T says, as far as what I think of these episodes, I love them. Lost always did late season very well, and this is no different. There are a lot of interesting plots and character threads that come together here, and it's masterfully done. Nothing feels out of place, no character feels overserved or underserved, and it's tight. That is true. It does service a huge cast, and at no point did I ever feel like, God damn, when are we ever going to get to this person or that person?
Right.
Although, one thing that I always thought was interesting about Lost is in Jack's camp, you always had, like, 24 randos.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if we ever need interesting new character, we can just bring one of these fuckers into this daylight. But otherwise,
or do we need
just...
somebody to do we need some consequences? Yeah, kill yes. Marco. Kill him.
Yeah, yeah, because if they didn't have that, you could never really add new characters unless you fucking parachuted them in or boated them in or whatnot. This was allowed you yeah. to, you're right, have like red shirts. They're like ensign bumfuck.
But they also parachuted in other people. So
right,
like,
right. Well, yeah.
They took all options there.
Yeah. Charlie's flashbacks and the greatest hits are heartbreaking. Really? Are they? Why are they heartbreaking? Like, two of them are laughable. The radio thing.
I do remember
thing.
Feeling some sympathy for
like
Charlie.
Like him saving the woman mugger, I guess. And, yeah. But in him being a child, maybe. But, like, I don't...
I want to say maybe he's talking more about the heroin stuff. Because there's a lot of flashbacks with him and heroin and, like, what...
Not in this episode, were there?
No, not in these. That's what I mean.
I think
like,
he's
maybe
talking
he's
about
referring...
these episodes.
Hmm, okay.
I just love Through the Looking Glass. It's an episode that keeps surprising you while it delights you, keeps you on your toes, and fills you with a sense of dread, not only for the future, but for the past as well. Pay attention to the music in this episode. It's so good. I can't agree more. We all everybody. We all everybody forever.
Yep.
I think he's talking about the other stuff, but...
Yeah.
There is one moment...
Lost did have an excellent soundtrack as well. Their score
sure.
on Lost was amazing.
There is one moment in the finale, though, that I'm 100% sure neither of you are going to like. You're going to call it out as grade-A bullshit immediately. I won't tell you the moment I'm thinking of, but I'll tell you afterwards on the forums, and I won't even try to defend it except for these three little words, rule of cool. The only thing I can think of is grenade on the window. But I feel like
But I'm not really calling bullshit on that.
It's like, I don't agree with Charlie's actions.
Right.
And I don't agree that that was a inescapable thing. And I also don't know why the patch guy did it. Like, I really don't. But it's not... I mean, maybe if I knew more about it, it would be more patent bullshit. But I'm curious to see if that's the moment you're talking about.
Is it like Jin not being able to hit the... dynamite?
Like, no, what else? Jack keeping Ben alive seemed pretty stupid.
Okay.
I mean, that total bullshit, but I don't know. Tara C says, I'm not good with writing stuff, but I wanted to at least get something into you guys about these episodes of Lost. They closed a major chapter of the Lost epic and had some of my favorite, and for some of my favorite characters. First and foremost, this was a brutal 3-episode arc for me. Every man's favorite Charlie. Not this man's Lost. Every man's favorite Charlie perished heroically. I think knowing what happens to him made watching Greatest Hits even worse. I was emotionally drained at the end of this 3 hours. He was indeed a hero, just like the lady in Alleywood told him he was, sacrificing himself to save all of his friends and his beloved Claire and baby Aaron. Well, I do like the kid's name. The scene between him and Desmond on the canoe was amazing. I do agree with that.
Okay.
Why did Charlie not let Desmond try it?
Because he wanted Claire to get off the island.
So like, he was really committed to the premonition thing. Yeah, yeah. You already answered that.
Sorry. Right.
We saw Jack's desperation drive him to the brink of suicide and an irrational drive to get back to the island. He grasped at the need to fix everyone and everything instead of taking care of himself.
That's been his arc.
Drowning his love for the island. Yeah, I remember like there's this one episode where he's trying to save, I think, that asshole Boone. And he's already chopped his arm off with, like, a FedEx cargo container. Right. He's transfusing blood until he's, like, see-through with this sea urchin IV line that he got running. Yeah, so definitely. The last shot of the season, the plane zooming overhead and him standing there defeated and alone shouting that we have to get back, is an iconic season finale and one of the top 10 of any TV show. My second favorite Losty, John Locke, a man of secrets, power, puzzles, drive, and heart. He went for a tumble into a pit of Darmites in an episode before Greatest Hits, lost his legs again, fought back at the urging of Walt, found his legs again, but the end gave in to Jack. As much as they battle, he just couldn't bring himself to kill Jack to save his precious island. What do you think would happen if he killed Jack? What would that have happened? Is that a dumb question to ask on a podcast?
It's one that I certainly can't answer.
Okay.
I mean, what do I think would happen?
Yeah.
And they'd go on without him? Like, I don't know. He wasn't as integral to the story, as I recall, as Locke was, certainly.
And finally, my favorite Losty, Hurley. Oh, man, do I relate to him a bunch.
Every man's favorite right there.
There
Come
you
on.
Go.
Yeah.
There's the people's champion,
right.
Hurley. Wanting to help, being everyone's buddy, being teased for being chubby, being told he couldn't, and then in the end, Hurley saved the fucking day. I grinned ear to ear when he was talking to Jack over to Walkie about how he had saved them all. Yes, right. You did, Hurley.
It was good.
Yeah, it was a good moment.
Charlie. Hurley is great.
Hurley. No, is there anyone that doesn't like Hurley?
No.
I can't remember any strong feelings about.
Maybe the guys he ran over in the bus.
Fuck that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michelle from California.
Before we move on,
yes.
We didn't talk much about Jack's arc. You know, and his streak of heroism, his need to save everyone.
His heroism.
Eventually, maybe he would have gone there. But I thought it was pretty effective. You know, the way that he felt like he already feels like we got to get back because he couldn't save everybody on the island.
He's also kind of stuck in his own dad's plot line, too.
He is in a lot of ways. Yeah. And
so in this timeline, his dad's not dead.
No, I guess his dad is dead,
or is that because he says at one point when the one doctor, the new attending doctor, is calling him on his status, he's like, get my father down here and see which one of our hands shakes more.
Right. Okay, so yeah, he's not dead in this timeline,
or it could be he's so out of it that he doesn't remember.
Maybe because I know the thing that you know took Jack to the island is he was on his way back from his father's
died
funeral, like transporting his corpse.
Yeah, his dad died in Australia on vacation.
Right, and so he was going to pick up the body and bring it back.
Uh-huh.
Did they ever recover
his body?
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh,
as I recall, he comes back to life at some point on the island.
Interesting.
So does Locke's dad is there on the island too? There are a lot of dads on this island.
Locke's dad shows up, stole his kidney?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that was,
and
me,
he gets to confront him about
to
it.
To me, that was like peak Lost. Like, that fucking made me feel so much impotent rage and exactly
right.
How, like, Locke would feel.
Yeah.
That was a real formative experience in, like, what television can be.
Right. But yeah, Jack is like, you know, he gets up on this bridge and he causes this accident and then he really wants to help this lady because he's got to make it right. And, like,
did he really cause the accident?
Sure, that's debatable, but
like,
I think in
like
his
keep
mind,
keep control of your what do you got your? I mean, I don't want to shame a hardworking mom. But what the fuck you got your minivan out
I
at
will.
2 o'clock in the
don't
morning?
Don't be a fucking looky loo and
yeah.
pay attention to what the fuck you're doing,
yeah.
so you don't kill somebody,
yeah,
yourself included.
Yeah, just because something shiny bounces across the highway doesn't mean
right.
you get to lose control of your vehicle.
He wasn't dancing naked in front of you, like you don't have to swerve to avoid him,
even if he was.
Right. So, but in Jack's mind, like, he caused this, right?
Mm.
And he feels super bad about that, just the way he feels bad about not being able to protect people on the island. It's
got a real guilt complex, this guy.
He does. I think it's a good arc for that character and motivates a lot of his actions to understandable results.
Michelle from California. In my opinion, there's so many things to love about the show, the characters, their backgrounds, the diversity amongst the characters, as well as storylines overall. I could go on for hours about how amazing the series is, but the thing that I really love the most is that throughout the series run, one of the most prominent themes is that of redemption and or second chances. Each one of these characters is given the opportunity for redemption or a second chance in their lives, no matter what they may have done in their pre-island past. Take, for instance, Charlie. Take Charlie, please. who these episodes are centered around. He came to the island as a has-been rock star who was addicted to heroin. We see his redemption develop over time as he is able to overcome his heroin habit, form friendships with the other survivors, lend a helping hand when needed, and build a loving relationship with Claire and Aaron, who he becomes a sort of father to. His selfless act at the end of this episode run, I think, only served to endear him more to the viewers. As sad as it was to watch, and as many tears as we cried, man, I feel like an asshole. I feel like such an unwashed asshole.
I want to talk about this, too.
We knew that his intentions were only to save everyone else, so the selfish, drug-addled boy turned his life completely around, mainly due to his love of one woman and her little boy, and became the tragic hero in the end. If that isn't redemption, I don't know what is. What do you want to talk about, Jim?
I want to talk about what a disservice we're doing to, I guess, the entire legacy of the show, but specifically Charlie, in that we're getting the slice of him that, outside of the full context of his relationship with Claire and the baby and, you know, his brother and, like, all of those things, we just aren't qualified to judge, right? I mean, like...
And I'm the wrong person. Like, if I was a Charlie fan, and if my experience with him in the first two seasons was a positive one, like, if this had been Jack...
Well,
I think I would have felt a lot more strongly about it.
Right. Maybe this doesn't apply to you because none of this affected you. But, like, Charlie's backstory, I remember, was pretty sad and tragic. And, like, him overcoming that was a big deal. And then sacrificing himself to potentially get these people off this island is a great heroic thing he did. And, like, that was a big deal to both me and the fan community at large. And, like, doing this slice of pie thing here with Lost... 3 episodes out of 121, and then trying to say, here's what we think of the series, is such a bad idea. Such a bad idea.
So I want to save that for end of the podcast.
It's the same as doing the pilot of Magnum PI and saying, this is what I think of the show.
I want to talk about this at the end of the podcast.
Okay.
Just have it as a separate topic.
Sure.
Rachel from Brooklyn says, I'm not a big Charlie fan. Hey, not the only one not in the fan club.
Yeah.
But Through the Looking Glass makes me a blubbering mess. God damn it, Rachel, you're this close to my back. This close. I'm not a big Charlie fan, but Through the Looking Glass makes me a blubbering mess every time. Lost is an expert at emotional manipulation, though even at times that manipulation is blatantly artificial. Hey, catharsis is catharsis. And I cannot explain why I'm a Jack Shepard fan, even when he can be an unlikable prick, and Matthew Fox's nasally voice hurts my ears, but I guess I'm a sucker for the damaged, abuse survivor, reluctant prophet type. Not unlike a Kevin Garvey, speaking of the leftovers, who is ultimately trying to do the right thing. Also, it doesn't help that Kevin Garvey has, like, an A-plus body.
Well,
You know.
Matthew Fox has an A-minus.
You're right. Matthew Fox is no slouch in that department either. I don't think he's as good looking as...
Kevin Thoreau, no.
No.
Justin Thoreau. Kevin. Kevin Thoreau, Justin Garvey.
Right, because he's like he has those classic good looks, rock hard body, but he's got the tattoos, let you know he's a bit of a bad boy.
Right, so does Jack, though. So does Jack.
Yeah.
Let you know that he made a bad decision a few years ago.
Yeah. He's not committed.
Right.
And I also really
like... And he doesn't smoke. I mean, you got to smoke to really be a badass, apparently.
That's true. Also, I really like an Alice in Wonderland and the Lost version of time travel. Any comments on that?
Actually, he does smoke in these episodes.
Jack?
Like, future Jack smokes, the island, destructive Jack smokes. Listens to Kurt Cobain.
Finally, we have Scotland. I would love to hear you and Jim discuss your opinions on how well you think the show juggles its large cast of characters, especially in contrast to other shows with big casts like Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead, and how well you thought they handled some of the side characters or main ones who weren't prominently featured. I will say that this is the strength of the 23-episode season, because where in like a big show like Game of Thrones or Orange is the New Black that has these massive cast of characters, it's really hard to give people their moments to shine in a 10-to-13-episode season.
And that's the thing I loved about Breaking Bad is it kept it small. Like, it kept, like, five people at most.
Really. And through a lot, you know, really, you only really cared about, like, two of them. And you started to back into caring about more of them later on in the series.
But it didn't matter.
It never got more than five or six.
Yeah, and it didn't matter that they only had 13 episodes because it was such a small, focused thing.
Mm-hmm.
In this, I think you're right. Like, those 24 episodes, Now, there were characters that people didn't like.
Yeah.
Side characters, Nikki and Paolo being a prime example. But they certainly got time. Like, it wasn't a failing of, oh, we just can't give them enough time.
All right. Now, do we want to talk about the topic of commissioning television shows?
Sure.
You're dead set against
it. I feel like I've said everything I want to say. I think it's a terrible idea.
My thing is, I feel like it's best if you commission something that Jim and I have already seen the vast pretty much everything. Like, I didn't even say the vast majority. Like, if you want to commission a podcast, like, for example, Firefly was great because we've already seen it. We're big fans.
I also did a complete rewatch.
I don't think that was necessary. And if you want to pick two or three episodes for us to focus on, but it's like really easy to turn that into just an overall kind of review of the series proper, which are fun to do. Or alternatively, if you want to like pitch the pilot of something like Magnum PI, where it's like, well, we either like it or we don't, and you know that can cut both ways. But I don't know if people are getting, and that's the thing, like. I believe in democracy. If these people that commissioned this podcast, you know, if Shane and Tara and Fracken and Eliza and Michelle and Rachel and Scotland and Casey and Madale, or if they end up liking and being entertained in this podcast, then who are we to say that this is a bad idea?
Okay, let me say this: we have a couple of shows coming up that I think are going to be catastrophic tire fires.
Oh no.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
I've seen the first season of that. They want us to cover a random selection of episodes from season 4, 5, and 6.
But that was episodic, right? Those things, like, I could not almost
totally
see,
no.
I could almost see that like being okay. Alright.
No, fine. That had a through line to it, certainly. Babylon 5, which people want us to watch 3 episodes from mid to late season 2.
Oh, because that was very serialized.
I think those are going to be absolute shit shows.
Well, I mean, this is an experiment. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, do you? It's one of those things. Like, do you protect people from themselves, or do you like? Okay,
I
want to
release something
worried.
That I'm proud of.
Okay,
like, honestly, like
agreed.
As long as I feel like I did something justice, I'm not going to be disappointed in myself, and I would hope that the audience wouldn't be disappointed in me. I don't feel like I can do those things justice in any way, because the selection of episodes is such that I'm not going to get a good indication of what the series is about. I'm not going to have any context.
And also, it's not helpful, like, people, like, we'll go to this wiki and kind of, like, that's not going to do it.
Because I did that with Lost for season 3. I read the entire synopsis.
And you saw season 3 of Lost.
And I watched season 3, and I still couldn't tell you what the fuck went on, who half those characters were.
Yeah.
All that stuff. So.
But that's, like, those wikis work really well if you're a knowledgeable fan that's trying to refresh your memory.
Just, like, I forgot this tiny little detail. Let me go look it up.
Yeah. And for damn sure, like, I've seen some people suggesting nothing got commissioned, but, like, you know, just I think like don't expect us to watch like 3 seasons of television. I mean every once in a while,
right.
We might, like, I could, yeah. I live in a world where you introduce us to something that's so awesome that I got to finish it, but that's not the expectation, because you know we would lose our shirts on these things if every time one of us watched 5 seasons of televisions for $300 worth of work or whatever.
That would be insane.
So right. I guess my thing is, like, I'm always afraid of bumming people out with a podcast, especially one that they're paying like real dollars for.
Yeah.
And I want to protect from that from happening. But on the other hand, if someone is like hell bent on, you know, doing a passion project, I don't want to tell them. But on the other hand, it's like, you know, we're all adults here and we all have differing opinions. And I don't know, maybe if these are tire fires, we can like put a moratorium on doing television, or very strict. Like, you can only.
Right. Here are the list of
shows.
If
you want to do a television, reach out to us first, yeah. Find out if we've seen it. And then if we haven't, we can watch the premiere stretch. and let you know what we think. But the problem is with a lot of, like, especially old television, the pilots often were not super representative of what the show ended up becoming.
Right.
Like, it's, for example, if someone wanted to be, like, today, if I would erase my memory and I've never seen Star Trek Next Generation, they're like, watch Encounter at Farpoint. I'd be like, this is kind of a steaming pile of shit. The uniforms look goofy. This Q guy looks ridiculous. This is melodrama. And, like, I mean, honestly, Star Trek never really...
The characters aren't well-developed.
Yeah. Like... Yeah, who is this fucking Wesley Crusher guy? Oh, my God. You know, why is Reading Rainbow guy got a banana clip on his head?
Aside from the bridge, the sets look like dog shit. Like...
Yeah, well, how about that engine room, though, too?
Well, okay, aside from the ship.
Okay, yeah.
aside from the regular sets.
Right. Farpoint itself looked like a goof.
Yeah.
You know, it's... But then, you know, if I put 7-8 seasons into it, and then you want me to watch Best of Both Worlds, or,
sure.
You know, the... What was the... Jamie had us watch the... All good things.
Right.
You get a hell of a podcast like that. So it's like, it's such a crapshoot. And I don't know whether we can come up with better controls or better guidelines for people to do in the future. Of course, I don't know. I mean, we might hear from these Lost people, this is exactly what they're wanting. Like, us to articulate why we fell off and the problems we had, and yet also give credit where it's due.
Yeah.
Or it could just be that they're super frustrated and unhappy with it. I don't know. In the end of the day, I want to get paid and I want to make people happy.
Right. I guess... I would say that this Lost podcast is representative of my general feelings on the show, my history with it, and these three episodes.
Yes.
Because, like, there is so much more to talk about with Lost.
Oh, of course.
But we're not going to get to it because, A, I don't remember it, and, B, that's not the scope here, right? Like, we'd have to go do 50 hours of research to recap the series.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm very nervous about these upcoming two, because I haven't seen either of them.
I'm not so nervous about Buffy. Babylon I'm worried about, because I do know that that was... its reputation was, it was a very, like, you know, kind of a novelization of five parts, five seasons. And also, I'm an audiovisual horror, and I tried to watch that in contemporary, and I'm like, oof.
Yeah.
The effects. The effects just aren't doing it for me. But I'm intrigued, and I share your nervousness with it.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes. That's it for this commission podcast, and hope you all liked it. Thank you very much. I've already shouted you out multiple times, but once again, hell, it's right in front of me. Thank you, Casey, Shane, Eliza, Michelle, Frackenty, Teresi, Rachel, Scotland, Rachel H., which I think is distinct from the Rachel from Brooklyn, and Medele. Thank you very much. We could not do the Bald Move experiment without people like yourself willing to sling money our way to podcast. Yeah. We are busking, just like Charlie.
We are.
It's starting to rain.
Should I do my rendition of Wonderwall? Is that what we need to go out on?
We need to get out of here so we can save a woman from being mugged. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Said maybe. Gonna be the one that saved.